Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dives?
Always.
Today, we're tackling a question that's, well, kind of huge-y. Are we alone in the universe?
One of humanity's biggest questions, for sure.
And we're going to look at it from two totally different angles, which I think is going to be super interesting.
Different, yeah, but, you know, there might be some surprising overlaps, too.
Exactly. We're going to bring in what modern science is telling us.
Right.
But also, we're going to dive into ancient Hindu philosophy.
Fascinating stuff. You know, it's almost like setting out on two separate expeditions, but to the same destination.
I like that.
One expedition's got, like, all the high-tech gear, telescopes, equations, all that.
The scientific method.
Exactly. And the other's got, well, ancient wisdom. Texts that are thousands of years old. A deep understanding of consciousness itself.
Okay, so two very different approaches, but both trying to answer that same question.
Right.
So let's start with the scientific expedition. Right now, scientists are spending a ton of time and energy searching for planets that might have life, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And they're specifically interested in what we call habitable zones.
Okay, break that down for me. What's a habitable zone?
So it's that Goldilocks region, right? The area around a star where the conditions are just right for liquid water to exist.
Making it potentially suitable for life.
You got it.
But we're talking about planets orbiting other stars, so how can we even know if they have liquid water?
It's all about observation and deduction. Scientists use incredible instruments like the Kepler and TESS space telescopes.
I've heard of those.
They've discovered thousands of planets orbiting other stars. We call them exoplanets.
Thousands, wow. And some of them are in these habitable zones.
Yep. Some are even Earth-sized and located within that sweet spot where liquid water, theoretically, could exist.
Okay, so that's going to be pretty exciting for scientists who are looking for extraterrestrial life.
You bet it is. One of the most exciting finds is a planet called Proxima Centauri B.
Catchy name.
It's orbiting the star Proxima Centauri, which happens to be the closest star to our sun.
No way. So basically, our next-door neighbor, in cosmic terms, might have a planet that could support life.
It's a mind-blowing possibility. Now, we don't have definitive proof of life on Proxima B just yet.
Right.
But it's definitely a place that has scientists buzzing.
I've got to be at the top of the list of places to check out more closely.
Yeah.
What about, scientists who are trying to actually listen for signals from alien civilizations? What's happening on that front?
Ah, you're talking about SETI. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right. SETI. I know they use those giant radio telescopes to scan the skies, right?
Exactly. They're looking for any kind of artificial radio signal that would indicate, hey, there's an advanced civilization out there.
So, like, if aliens are out there blasting their version of rock and roll across space, SETI's going to pick it up.
Haha. Something like that. So far, though, it's been pretty quiet out there.
No alien rock concerts yet.
Not yet. But who knows, right? Our technology is always improving.
True. So we've got all these scientists searching for, you know, concrete, physical evidence of life beyond Earth. But what if? What if there's more to life than what we can measure with our instruments?
Oh.
What if there's a whole other side to it that we're just not equipped to detect yet?
You're getting at that second perspective, right? Hindu philosophy.
Hit me with it.
Well, Hindu philosophy, especially as it's laid out in ancient texts like the Vedas and Upanishads, offers a radically different view.
Okay, I'm listening.
It basically says the universe isn't just vast, it's teeming with life.
Okay, teeming with life.
But here's the thing, it's life in a multitude of forms.
I'm assuming not all little green men, right?
Uh-huh. Not necessarily. Not all physical. We're talking physical and metaphysical forms of life.
Metaphysical life. Okay, now you're really getting into territory that's hard for my science brain to wrap itself around.
It's definitely a big shift in perspective. Imagine, like, our current understanding of reality is this tiny boat on an immense ocean, right?
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Science is carefully charting the surface of that ocean. But Hindu philosophy, it suggests there are incredible depths beneath the surface that we can barely even fathom.
So more to life than meets the eye or the telescope, for that matter.
Way more. Hindu philosophy introduces this concept of lokas, which are kind of like realms or dimensions of existence.
Lokas. Okay, go on.
And each loka is inhabited by different types of beings. Some we might recognize, celestial beings, gods.
Right, right.
But also entities that exist beyond our normal perception entirely.
So we're not just talking about finding, like, microbial life on Mars or some advanced civilization on a distant planet.
Nope, this is bigger. Hindu philosophy suggests that life exists on multiple planes, some of them far beyond anything we currently understand.
Multiple planes of existence. So give me a concrete example. I need something to help me visualize this. What would one of these other planes, these lokas, be like?
Sure. Think about the concepts of divlokas and padalokas.
I've heard those terms before. Aren't those like heaven and hell?
They're often translated that way, yeah. But it's actually much more nuanced than that. They're the heavenly realms and the underworld realms.
Okay, so not just a simple good place, bad place situation.
Right. There's this text, the Vishnu Purana, as one of the major Hindu texts. And it describes 14 different lokas.
14.
14 distinct realms. And each one has its own specific qualities, its own unique inhabitants.
Wow. That's a lot to process. But, I mean, our Earth is one of those 14, right?
Exactly. It's known as Bhuloka, just one realm among many.
So Hindu philosophy is basically saying our understanding of life is incredibly small compared to this vast picture described in these ancient texts.
That's one way to put it. And within this vast picture, life takes on forms we can barely even imagine.
Okay, so on one hand, we've got scientists out there with their telescopes and experiments looking for physical signs of life.
Right.
And on the other hand, Hindu philosophy is painting this picture of a universe that's just overflowing with life in all sorts of forms.
A cosmic tapestry.
Yeah, a tapestry. But some of those forms are like beyond what we can even comprehend.
Beyond our current understanding, yeah.
So I gotta ask, are science and Hindu philosophy even talking about the same thing when they use the word life?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the answer is, well, it's kind of complicated.
I figured.
There are definitely some fascinating points where these two perspectives overlap, believe it or not.
Really?
For starters, both science and Hindu philosophy agree on the vastness of the universe. I mean, it's mind-bogglingly huge.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can truly wrap our heads around just how big it is.
And given that immensity, both science and Hindu philosophy say the odds of us being alone are pretty slim.
Makes sense. It'd be kind of arrogant to think we're the only ones out here, right?
Exactly. Another interesting thing is, well, scientists are becoming a lot more open-minded about what life could look like. They're not just looking for another planet full of humans anymore.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, aliens in movies were always these little green guys.
Right. But now, scientists realize life could take on forms we haven't even imagined.
And that shift in thinking, it kind of reminds me of what we were talking about with Hindu philosophy, like life existing beyond our current understanding, right?
You're right. There's a connection there. I think one of the big turning points for science was the discovery of extremophiles here on Earth.
Extremophiles?
Yeah.
Those are those microscopic organisms that live in like really extreme environments.
You got it. Super hot, super cold, acidic, places we thought nothing could survive. And yet these little guys are thriving there.
It's crazy. Like I saw this documentary about those tube worms that live around those deep sea hydrothermal vents.
Yeah. It's amazing, right? They're getting their energy from chemicals, not sunlight. Totally different from anything we knew before.
So basically, these extremophiles prove that life can adapt and exist in conditions we thought were impossible.
Precisely. And that discovery really opened up our thinking about where else life might exist in the universe. It could be out there in ways we never even considered.
It's like those extremophiles blew open the doors to all sorts of possibilities. Which kind of links back to Hindu philosophy, right?
It does. Remember the concept of jiva, that individual soul or life force?
Yeah.
Well, in Hindu philosophy, jiva can take on countless forms. It can exist across those different planes of existence, those lokas we were talking about.
So science with extremophiles and Hindu philosophy with jiva both point to life being way more adaptable, way more diverse than we originally thought.
Exactly. And even more mind-blowing, remember those scientists at SETI listening for radio signals? What if those signals aren't coming from a civilization on a physical planet like we imagine?
Whoa. You're saying what if those signals are coming from beings in one of those other realms, those lokas?
It's a wild thought, right?
Yeah.
But it highlights another area where science and Hindu philosophy seem to converge.
Which is?
This idea that the universe is interconnected in ways we can't fully grasp. I mean, scientists are discovering things like quantum entanglement, where particles are linked across vast distances.
I've heard of that, but it's still kind of mind-bending to think about.
It is. But Hindu philosophy has been talking about this interconnectedness for thousands of years. The idea that everything in the universe is ultimately one. So in a way, both perspectives are hinting at a deeper level of reality.
Okay, I'm definitely starting to see how these two seemingly different approaches might actually have some things in common. But I'm guessing there's still some pretty big differences between them too, right?
Absolutely. At their core, science and Hindu philosophy have very different ways of approaching knowledge.
So how do they differ?
While science is all about empirical evidence, seeing is believing, right?
Makes sense. You gotta have proof.
Exactly. Scientists need to be able to observe, measure, and replicate their findings. That's the foundation of the scientific method.
Okay, so if you can't put it under a microscope or detect it with a telescope, it's not real to science.
It's more nuanced than that, but you get the idea. Now, Hindu philosophy, on the other hand, operates on a different level.
Okay, how so?
Well, it's rooted in spiritual insights, in ancient teachings that have been passed down for
A
generations.
different kind of knowledge.
Right, and it doesn't require that same kind of physical evidence that science demands.
So science wants to see it to believe it, while Hindu philosophy is saying there's this deeper understanding of the cosmos that goes beyond what our senses can pick up.
You're getting it. A great example is the concept of darshan in Hinduism.
Darshan. Refresh my memory.
It's the experience of seeing or being seen by a deity, a direct connection, a communion.
So like a spiritual experience.
Exactly. And that's something that's completely outside the realm of what science can currently measure or even conceptualize.
Makes you wonder, though, have you ever had one of those moments like when you're out in nature or listening to music or even just connecting with another person and you feel this sense of, I don't know, like there's something more, something bigger than ourselves?
I think we've all had those moments, that sense of awe.
Do you think that could be like a tiny glimpse of what Darshan is talking about? A hint of that connection to something beyond our everyday reality.
It's possible, and I think that's what's so fascinating about looking at these two perspectives side by side. They're not necessarily in conflict, they just offer different ways of exploring the same grand mystery.
So science gives us concrete data, observable facts about the universe, while Hindu philosophy encourages us to consider the possibility of realities beyond our current perception.
Exactly. And maybe, just maybe, by exploring both of these paths, we can get a fuller, richer understanding of what it means to be alive in this incredible universe.
So where does all this leave us? We've gone on this amazing journey exploring two totally different ways of looking at the question, are we alone?
Two very different approaches.
Science, with its focus on observation and experimentation, trying to find those concrete signs of life out there.
Right, physical evidence.
And then Hindu philosophy, with this much broader, almost spiritual view of a universe filled with life in ways we can barely imagine.
Life beyond our current understanding.
It's really mind-blowing to think about. And, you know, it seems like both perspectives are pushing us in their own ways to expand our definition of what life even means.
I think you're right.
Science, through the discovery of those extremophiles and the ongoing search for extraterrestrial intelligence, it's like science is saying, hey, life might be a lot stranger and more diverse than we initially thought.
More widespread, perhaps.
Exactly. And then Hindu philosophy, with its concept of jiva, that life force that can take on so many forms.
Right.
And the idea of life existing across these multiple realms, these lokas,
It's a big universe.
it really is so much we don't know. Okay, let's do a little thought experiment. What if right now those scientists at SETI pick up a clear, unmistakable signal from an intelligent civilization out there?
Wow, that would be huge. I mean, a complete game changer.
Right. No more wondering, no more speculation. We'd know for sure we're not alone. But do you think such a discovery would it lend any credibility to Hindu philosophy?
That's an interesting question.
Because here's this ancient tradition that's been talking about a universe teeming with life for centuries, and then suddenly, bam, science confirms it.
I mean, it would definitely make you wonder, wouldn't it? Could there be more to these ancient teachings than we realized?
Maybe science is starting to catch up to what ancient wisdom has known all along. What if that alien civilization, you know, the one sending us signals, what if they've already tapped into those other realms, those higher levels of consciousness that Hindu philosophy describes?
It's possible. I mean, who knows how advanced they might be?
Imagine if they could teach us how to connect with those other lokas, how to access those other levels of reality. It would be a whole new chapter in human history.
A new understanding of reality itself, maybe.
It really makes you think. I guess the biggest takeaway from all this is that we need to stay open to the possibilities.
Right.
The universe is vast, mysterious, and full of surprises, and our understanding of life is constantly evolving.
We've only just begun to scratch the surface.
Exactly. So the next time you look up at the stars, remember that you're gazing upon infinite possibilities. Life might be blinking back at us right now from some distant planet. Or maybe it's reaching out to us in ways we can't even perceive. Keep looking up, keep asking those big questions, and never lose that sense of wonder. And that's our deep dive into Are We Alone? Until next time, keep exploring.